You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Well, I already told you about what's going to happen on Saturday up in Melanchthon and Mulmer townships. An awful lot of people will be up there. One would hope is made. Do you remember how many people went to Foodstock? 25,000 people.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get that many for this weekend, but we can live in hope. That yeah comes from Matthew Kelway, and he is the new Democratic Party MP for Beaches East York, right here in the big city in the big smoke. And you and others, some of your closest friends, I guess, are heading off into the countryside tomorrow. Now, tell me what's going to happen.
Well, we are indeed. We've got a full busload of folks, including four members of Parliament, NDP members of Parliament, coming out of the Toronto area. So Peggy Nash will be with us, Greg Scott, Rathka Sitsibaisan, and myself, as well as Jonah Shine, who is the new Democrat environment and transit critic at the Ontario provincial level. He's coming along, and so a busload of us urbanites will be heading up into the wilds of Melanchthon Township for a tour of the proposed mega quarry site.
I think it can easily be said that people who live in the city don't often connect, just because they lead busy lives right here, don't often connect with things that happen in the countryside that can even directly affect us when, as we're living in the big cities. Going out and having a look sounds like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you can grasp, I think, intellectually the issue of the mega quarry, but I think it adds a lot for folks to actually go and visit the site and see the countryside to truly understand what a sin the proposed mega quarry would actually be.
Whose idea was this? Where does this come from?
Well, it comes out of the Ontario Federal Caucus, actually, the 23 of us who have seats in Ontario, and we decided this was an issue that we needed to make a statement about, and I put up my hand to lead the cause. And so locally, Craig Scott and I, next door to me in Toronto Danforth, are working on a lot of sustainability issues, and we decided, why don't we rent a bus and bring some interested folks up with us.
Are these people who, generally speaking, would not have seen Melanchthon before?
Yes.
City people?
Most definitely. They're all city folk.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No,
now,
city folk are good folk,
yeah,
of course.
You got
it's going to be meeting their country cousins tomorrow. So, I think by and large, these are folks who are interested in knowing more about the issue and getting up there and seeing for themselves what it's all about.
What are your expectations of what you're going to see?
Well, I've been there before. I got a tour firsthand with Carl.
Yeah.
But there will be some new spots on the four-hour tour that we'll get with Carl and Donna Tranquata, including a half-hour break along the banks of the Pine River for a picnic, which is a beautiful spot. So it's really about showing other folks how beautiful the countryside is and how we don't want it despoiled with this mega quarry.
Well, I think an awful lot of people feel that way. Certainly they did last fall when they came up to Foodstock. I know they came for the good food, too. I appreciate that. But I think they also came understanding that as city people and country people are the same people.
Yeah.
And they're concerned basically about the same things. You may lead a life that's closer to the environment than others. Nonetheless, it's still kind of important to make sure some of these huge, huge projects that really don't seem to have much in the way of serving the public interest, that these things don't necessarily go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's bringing awareness to folks that somewhere between a quarter and a half of the potatoes consumed in the city come from that land that will be turned into a quarry. And, of course, the water, the five river systems that run off the headwaters there, serve for drinking water for a million folks in Ontario. And so this I hope will make those connections more real for folks.
What will it do for you and some of your fellow MPs in terms of arming you with more information and more firsthand experience in fighting to keep that thing out of there?
Yeah, there's never too much information we can have and experience in seeing this and talking to folks. We'll talk to some farmers living up that way along the way. And I should mention, too, that our agriculture critic, Malcolm Allen, will be meeting us there and coming along for the tour. This is a fight against the mega quarry that we support in the federal NDP caucus for a number of reasons. It's about putting food and water first. What this particular issue brings into stark relief, I think, is the issue of sustainability. It's a word we talk about a lot, but here at the mega quarry, it really becomes something reducible to potatoes or rocks. What do you want coming into this city, you know?
Although we need both, don't we?
We need both. We do need both, but when you simplify it to those terms, I think there's an obvious choice that we put water and food for our city first, then we need to look at the thorny and difficult question about sustainable development of our city and how we deal with growth in our city without ruining the farmland and access to local food in the surrounding areas.
Well, if you talk to people up there, as I know you have, we've been doing, how long have we been doing this now, Mary?
It's about a couple of years now with the mega quarry.
Since the application went in, but even before that. Anybody up there will tell you, there's a lot of really great limestone. It's high-quality limestone in many locations up in that whole area, but you don't have to dig up some of the prime farmland to put it right in that particular area. There are places where you could do it. There are places maybe where you don't need the world's Canada's biggest open pit mine in order to extract the limestone that we need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When you look at this, it's class one farmland up there, which is extremely rare. And this is a precious resource to grow the food that we folks in the city eat. And that class one farmland needs to be preserved. Most definitely.
A lot of people are concerned as well about the changes to the Federal Fisheries Act and how that will conspire against the arguments about preserving fish habitat in that very area.
No, absolutely. The Fisheries Act, and as well as essentially Bill C-38, the Budget Implementation Act, ripped up the Canadian Environmental Assessment Act and has replaced it with something that is certainly not adequate undermines the opportunity and the hope that this quarry could trigger a federal environmental assessment.
Yeah.
And I presented a petition into the House of Commons on this issue calling for a federal environmental assessment under that act, which no longer exists anymore, unfortunately.
Well, in fact, we had sitting right where you're sitting a few weeks ago, if you'll pardon the expression, a liberal, sitting right there and saying, there was a day when I would have wanted a federal environmental assessment, but now I'm saying, no.
Please spare us.
Don't do it, because the fear being that if it is done, it'll simply wind up being, at least in the minds of those who are objecting, it'll wind up being a license to open up and operate the quarry.
Yeah. And we'll see what the regulations of the new act look like. But that is certainly a concern that if you went through the new process, the government could okay this at a federal level.
And that the whole idea of fish habitat, you'd have to prove as the mere mortal side of the argument rather than have the government readily concede to the fact that fish habitat is important. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have to argue that the fish spawning in the headwaters of the Nottawasaga River is an important resource. Good grief.
Well, and part of the problem is the U that you refer to is going to be highly circumscribed, so that it's only directly affected parties that would be able to participate in that. And we've seen court decisions that interpret that directly affected as meaning that this means that they're highly circumscribed about who can participate.
Yeah.
So it's directly affected and so-called experts with relevant knowledge.
Well, and that makes it very, very difficult for groups who, first off, have to raise enough money if they're going to mount any kind of challenge at all. Yeah. Ask the INDEC people, ask Carl Kosak. You already know the answer to those questions. It puts the fundraising burden in their hands as well.
Yes, and those are enormous burdens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What you have? How much faith do you have in the provincial environmental assessment that will proceed now?
Well,
that's the only other thing we have going outside outside of the application itself in natural resources.
One always has to be cautious about these things because one doesn't want to discourage anybody from engaging in this battle. So all I would say is to encourage folks not to give up hope. I mean, in these circumstances, with this fight, you have to press on. I think there is so much at stake with this mega quarry that even if it's a faint hope, one needs to press on and raise the issues and proceed with the battle.
Is it? And it's important, I guess. I guess we can assume that from what you're doing and what you're organizing here. Is it important for people who live in big cities to really better understand and appreciate what's going on out in the countryside with a project of this size?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think this is as much an urban issue, frankly, as it is a rural issue, that this is for people in cities to understand that their water comes from places like Melancthon Township and that their food comes from here. And if that agricultural land turns into a giant hole for aggregate, then their food and water has to come from elsewhere.
My guest is Matthew Kelway. He's the New Democratic Party MP for Beaches East York. Got himself a bus tour going, happening tomorrow. City folk meeting country folk. That's part of what's going to happen. Allowing us all, and I'll be popping along as well and sharing some of the thoughts of people who will be seeing this for the first time. Their attitudes and reactions to what they're seeing in terms of the beauty of the land and the scope of what could happen if this whole project goes ahead. If you'd like, if you have a comment or a question about what's going to happen tomorrow, well, don't hold back. Give us a call at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It's 11:48, and Matthew Kelway is here. We're talking about a very special bus tour that's going to happen tomorrow up into Melancthon Township to have a look firsthand at some of the countryside up there and trying to imagine what it might look like if, in fact, this giant limestone open pit mine, it would be the largest in Canada, possibly the second largest in all of North America, if in fact it's dug there. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. So I'm assuming, Matthew, it's a full bus load. How did you fill the bus? Where did you find people who wanted to go along on this?
Well, just local folks, Dale. We put out email, put it on my Facebook page and that kind of stuff. Craig Scott and I have created something called the East End Sustainability Network, and so we get a lot of folks who come out to those meetings regularly who are concerned about the environment, so that was fertile ground to invite those folks along. So,
wasn't tough to fill a bus, I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't. The issue was, what do we do with overflow? So we've got your rock rocking chair strapped to the roof for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that's a good spot to be. Nice and breezy up there.
It'll
No problem at all. Well, this will be, in fact, you'll be seeing things that that people who have already been up there, I think, have not seen. Carl Kosak, the way I hear it, has laid on quite an extensive tour, so you get a really good idea of what's at stake.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And some folks up there are allowing us on their property so we can get back into the fields and see some hidden lakes and some very interesting things that people wouldn't normally get, beautiful things people normally wouldn't get an opportunity to see just by driving the roads up there.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had any reaction to this from any of your fellow politicians or anybody who's found out about this and is reacting?
No, I haven't had any opposition, you know, from liberals or conservatives to any of this. Of course, my NDP brethren are fully supportive of the initiative. So it's all been good so far.
Well, will a lot of you be back then for the Saturday event?
I'm not sure. It would be interesting to see if it attracts some of the folks that come up on Wednesday back up there. And it could be that some people aren't coming with us tomorrow because they're planning on going up Saturday. In any case, it was difficult for us as politicians to get up there on the weekend. You know, we have lots of stuff going on in our ridings. I've got the International Beaches Jazz Festival in my riding this weekend. So so getting up there on the Saturday
Then they really are,
when
you think about it, they really are two different kinds of events anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, the event on Saturday is maybe appeals more to some of the people who went up there last fall in October for a food stock and, you know, showed their support for this incredible project and or against the incredible project. So,
And tomorrow's bus tour will be kind of an insider's view into the countryside there that people going up for other purposes won't have the opportunity to see likely.
Yeah. Have you and your fellow MPs formed an opinion about whether or not some kind of limestone mining operation could be there if it were much smaller than the one that's being proposed? Have you had a chance to talk about that or even think about that aspect of this?
Well, you know, one of the things that attracts one's attention to this issue is the sheer scale of the quarry. It's the numbers, the 6 million liters of water that are going to have to be pumped daily, the 7,200 trucks a day, et cetera.
600 million.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day. Did I say six?
You said six.
So, sorry. 600 million.
I mean, I can't conceive of that
I don't
much
know.
Water?
Once we're beyond 6 million, I don't know. It's all, you know, it's just big numbers. So, but I think the same issue applies that even if it's a smaller quarry on this class one land, you still confront this issue of sustainability, that we cannot continue to build our cities, either building them out or even up, if it's going to mean that we have to be digging up class one, two, or three soil.
Well, we got to dig it up, but it's where we dig it up.
It's where
we
dig it up, and maybe not so much of it needs to be dug up. And this is the issue. There's that needs to be researched, I think. And how do we build a city? Because the city's going to continue to grow.
For sure.
That doesn't depend on that kind of aggregate. And does it mean that there are building standards that call for recycling of aggregate and reusing building materials and so on and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the challenge is for this country to figure out how to build sustainable cities, and that's kind of the urban perspective on this quarry.
There's a great debate going on as well. There are many side debates going on here. There's a debate about the traffic load in the area, all these heavy trucks that will be going into an area that has roads, obviously. But the roads that many people are worried won't be able to handle the kind of traffic and the kind of weight that'll be involved with this this quarry.
Well, and safely, too. I mean, these are still roads with school buses traveling down them, and you're going to have I think, impossible to contemplate. When you go up there and drive those roads and there's the stop signs and the traffic lights, it's, I think, impossible to contemplate 7,200 trucks a day traveling those roads.
But that's right. And the other thing that's tough to contemplate is, in fact, the exact need for the limestone. Yeah. How much limestone is available from existing limestone quarries that are already, some of them not that far from where we're talking about, on less attractive land, not on growing land. And do we really need to have this go ahead at this point? That's something I think people thought maybe would be discussed or would become an issue with the review of the Aggregate Resources Act in Ontario, which is the other thing that's going on that we haven't talked about. That won't have anything to do with this particular application. I think we know that. But when you look at reviewing such a thing as the Aggregate Resources Act, even though it's a provincial act, it still affects us, you know, federally and provincially in as far as the environment is concerned. What needs to happen there? I mean, if we're reviewing that kind of act, what kind of considerations do we need to write into the act to make sure that these things are operating in the public interest?
Well, I'm off my federal turf, of course, about a provincial act, but I think we do need to take into consideration the type of land that's getting dug up, whether it's class 1, 2, or 3 farmland. You have to think about where the water table is in terms of where the quarry is. So if you're digging below the water table, you're entering into challenges, and you're likely contaminating somebody's drinking water somewhere, if that's the nature of the quarry.
Or removing the drinking water.
The possible threat here, because the notion of the proposal that they're going to pump this water, the 600 million liters per day in perpetuity, is just such a bizarre concept. I mean, it's impossible to contemplate 600 million liters a day, but to contemplate pumping that water in perpetuity, it just makes no sense.
Perpetuity is kind of a long time.
It is. It goes on for a while.
You noticed? And somebody asked me the other day, and I didn't have a good answer for it, and there's no answer for it in the application, which I've read, managed to get my way through this 1,300-page document. Right. What if... And this comes under the general heading of dumb questions for which there's no good answer, which means maybe it's not a dumb question. Mm. What if the water doesn't want to go back into the ground?
Yes. Where does it go?
The water, you punch through the water table. The water rushes into the big hole. Yeah. We know this happens all over the place. Then they dig it out so they can keep mining. And it goes into what they refer to in the applications as insertion wells, essentially pipes that go back into the ground. And there are hundreds and hundreds of these insertion wells. Well, what if the water won't go back in? Then what happens to the water?
Yeah. Well, it is a good question, and this, again, I think has to do with the scale of this. There are a lot of what-ifs with this one, because a quarry of this scale in a landscape of this particular and peculiar nature has not been done before.
Yeah.
So we don't know how all of this is going to unfold and turn out and how large the disasters are going to be, in fact.
Like it could be a dangerous experiment, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in, and thanks for supplying the bus. I hope everybody will have an interesting time, and we'll be tagging along and sharing some of the information, some of the things that you're seeing with our audience.
Bring your singing voice and a musical instrument. Well,
I'm not sure about the musical instrument. I'll bring my microphone,
Very good.
That's Matthew Kelway. He is the New Democratic Party MP for Beaches East York, along with a number of your friends who are also federal members of the New Democratic Party, federal members of Parliament, all along on the bus trip with a bunch of constituents who are going to see quite a unique part of Ontario, I would say.
And
that's
beautiful.
It. And beautiful, too. Yeah. Let's hope it stays that way.
Absolutely.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.